You're going to love this. Just love it.
That's a money-back guarantee.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Why not?
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I'm never scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am.
And I'm wondering what it is I should do.
What should I do?
It's
stuck
so
in the middle with you right here.
On
KPFK, Pacifica Radio, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. That's 110,000 watts, at least, blazing across the California Southland. And of course, coast to coast on KPFK.org, on the Stitcher app, on the TuneIn app, on the Progressive Voices channel, on TuneIn, on Netroots Radio, Liberal Justice Radio, and now on iTunes. Welcome. This is your Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Live with another hour of radio on your public airwaves. Glad you could join me today. It is, by the way, today is your turn. It is your turn. I have week after week, I keep saying, I got to get to the phones. I got to let the people use their airwaves. Today is that day. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. If you'd like to use your public airwaves, use them before you lose them even more than you already have. I would love to hear from you. Always love to hear people telling me, Brad, you're wrong. So you guys get to go to the front of the line. We'll also have Desi Doyen, as usual, will be joining us a little bit later for the Green News Report, as always. A sober GNR today, somber even. Some news on how the oil companies are celebrating this week's 25th anniversary of the ExxonMobil disaster. How? With a new disaster, of course. We'll also have details on the warnings given years ago about what has become an ongoing and horrific disaster up in Washington State. That landslide was, scientists tried to warn years ago, and as usual, who listens to scientists? At least not until it's too late. Plus, we'll have some politics for you as Dems begin their panic about 2014. Yes, the Democrats are all set to lose the Senate this year, and if they keep up the bad work, they just may do so. But we've got some news on that, and their strategy for this campaign season is now revealed. Hint, Coke is it. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well, along with you and your phone calls on a couple of items that I wanted to hit here, because we've had over the last several weeks experts, guests, newsmakers who I've interviewed on some of these topics that I wanted to allow you guys to ring in on, and I just haven't had the time. So we're going to take that time today to talk about some of these items that I'm going to talk about in a moment, and really anything else that's on your mind. 818-985-5735. Okay, one point that I want to hit, that I want to underscore, that we did hit on last week's show when I was speaking with Robert Perry of ConsortiumNews.com about his article, Mainstream U.S. Media Lost in Ukraine. If you didn't hear that interview, it's up on bradblog.com, it's up on iTunes, kpfk.org, and so forth. But there was this one disturbing part, and it's disturbing on a number of levels, among them because I've heard it, I was going to say almost nowhere, I should say I've heard it nowhere in the U.S. media. This was a phone call. I'm going to play you this, just a short clip from this phone call, because if nobody else is going to play it, I'm going to play it before we get dragged into another ridiculous conflict that we frankly have no business being in Ukraine. Might as well have said Iraq. If nobody else is going to play this, I'm going to play it. This is from a phone conversation between the EU Foreign Affairs Chief Catherine Ashton and the Estonian Foreign Minister Urmas Paet. And Paet had just come back from Ukraine after the initial uprising several weeks ago when Viktor Yanukovych, who was at the time the president of the Ukraine, was said to have gunned down 100 or so of his own citizens, his policemen, were just shot, were gunned down, were killed. And, of course, this led to finally the protesters having had enough and storming the castle and throwing out Yanukovych. We're not really getting the entire story, it seems, at least if this phone call is to be believed. And so far, nobody has disputed the authenticity of this phone call between the EU foreign minister and between the Estonian foreign minister, who had just come back after that terrible incident out there in Kyiv, where hundreds, in fact, were gunned down, including policemen, including the government's own policemen. And this underscored the entire takeover of the Ukraine government, the tossing out Yanukovych, who, as much of a corrupt jerk that he might have been, was, in fact, the democratically elected leader of this country. So this was the incident. Now, what we weren't told, apparently, about this incident is what we are being told by Russia, or that we hear from Russia, that we hear from Putin, that what he's trying to do is stop the takeover by these ultra-nationalists, these Nazis, as they call them. And you know what? Maybe that's true. We don't know, because our U.S. media is not reporting, apparently, what's actually going on the ground. So in this case, you've got the Estonian foreign minister just coming back after this terrible slaughter, talking about the people who were shot, talking about the protesters who were shot, talking about the government police who were also shot, and saying, you know what? It doesn't appear to be that all of those people were killed by Yanukovych's police. It appears that the police and the protesters were shot by some still unknown mysterious third party. Here's a short clip from that phone call.
What was quite disturbing, the same Olga told that, well, all the evidence shows that people who were killed by snipers from both sides, among policemen and people from the streets, that they were the same snipers killing people from both sides.
Well, that's, yeah.
So that, and then she also showed me some photos. She said that has medical doctor. She can, you know, say that it is the same handwriting, the same type of bullets. And it's really disturbing that now the new coalition, that they don't want to investigate what exactly happened. So that there is now stronger and stronger understanding that behind snipers, it was not Yanukovych, but it was somebody from the new coalition.
I think they do want to investigate. I mean, I didn't pick that up. That's interesting. Gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh. Isn't that interesting? Again, that was the EU Foreign Affairs Chief Catherine Ashton speaking with Estonian Foreign Minister Urmas Paet, saying that it appears, according to a medical examiner on the ground, her name is Olga Bogomolets. She was a doctor treating those people who were killed, that it appears that they were both killed by the same, still mysterious, third party. At least according to what he was shown. At least according to what Olga told him. This phone call was obviously released by Russia. I would think they're the only ones who have the technology other than the U.S. to record a phone call like this. But to me, it raises questions about the entire affair, and more so, it raises questions about everything that I'm hearing in the U.S. media. Why aren't we hearing about that phone call? And the point that's raised in that phone call that, you know, the new coalition, in other words, the protesters who have now taken over the government in Kyiv, why aren't they holding investigations for who did all of this shooting? I mean, you would think that they would be, you know, parading out heads on pikes after 100 of their own fellow citizens have been shot. But have you heard anything about the investigation going on? You know, to bring out Yanukovych's men who did this, who slaughtered all these people? No, we haven't heard a thing. And as he says in this phone call, the new coalition does not even want to investigate what exactly happened. Really? Seems we should be hearing about that. Seems we should be talking about it, because all that's going on, all that appears to be going on as we talk with Robert Perry, is, you know, neocons in this country trying to get Barack Obama to take the war bait. Iraq ended. Afghanistan is winding down. Their plans to go to war with Syria didn't exactly work out, even though Barack Obama wanted it to work out. That was stopped. Now it looks like there could be peace with Iran. What are we going to do? We have to find another war. We have to keep the military-industrial boondoggle going. And so, of course, they are baiting Barack Obama. And, you know, they say he's got to, he's weak. His weakness is what has emboldened Putin to come into the Crimea. Into the Crimea, where, by the way, 96.7% of the people voted democratically to be a part of Russia. You may like it, you may not like it, you may even call it election fraud. But if you do, do me a favor, give me some evidence of that election fraud, because I have been able to find none. It looks to me like all of those people in the Crimea, all of those people who bothered to vote, actually want to join Russia. You don't care for that? Sorry, that's what they want to do. That's their own self-determination, it appears. And no, it doesn't appear worth going to war for, no matter how much they call Barack Obama a wuss, no matter how much they pretend that what Mitt Romney did, remember Mitt Romney claiming that Russia is our number one geopolitical foe. And after last week's show, I actually heard from some people saying, yes, Romney was right. Clearly now, this proves that Romney was right. No. I disagree. It doesn't prove that he was right at all. This is not our problem, at least not now. This is the world's problem. This is the world's world community's problem. And thankfully, Obama, President Obama, finally seems to be beginning to get it. At least he did this weekend when he was asked at The Hague, where he's having a nuclear conference, when he was asked about Mitt Romney's comments. From ABC's Jonathan Carl, who, along with the rest of the U.S. media, seems to be trying to bait this president into another war.
In China, in Syria, in Egypt, and now in Russia, we've seen you make strong statements, issue warnings that have been ignored. Are you concerned that America's influence in the world, your influence in the world, is on the decline? And in the light of recent developments, do you think Mitt Romney had a point when he said that Russia is America's biggest geopolitical foe? If not Russia, who? And Mr. Prime Minister, do you think these sanctions will change Vladimir Putin's calculation, will cause him to back down? And do you see there's a, you know, where do you see a Russian red line where if they go any further, if they go into eastern Ukraine,
red line,
Moldova,
red line, there's a red line.
Options beyond sanctions have to be considered.
Draw a red line.
The premise
so
of
we can
the question
go to war.
Is that whenever the United States objects to an action and other countries don't immediately do exactly what we want, that's been the norm. That would pretty much erase most of 20th century history. I think that. There's a distinction between us being very clear about what we think is an appropriate action, what we stand for, what principles we believe in, versus what is, I guess, implied in the question, that we should engage in some sort of military action to prevent something. With respect to Mr. Romney's assertion that Russia is our number one geopolitical foe, the truth of the matter is that America's got a whole lot of challenges.
You think?
Russia,
you think?
Is a regional power that is threatening some of its immediate neighbors, not out of strength, but out of weakness.
Oh, Putin slam.
Ukraine has been a country in which Russia had enormous influence for for decades, since the breakup of the Soviet Union. And you know, we have considerable influence on our neighbors. We genuinely don't need to invade them in order to have a strong cooperative relationship with them. The fact that Russia felt compelled to go in militarily and lay bare these violations of international law indicates less influence, not more. Russia's actions are a problem. They don't pose the number one national security threat to the United States. I continue to be much more concerned when it comes to our security with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
There you go. Good. Good for him. De-escalate. De-escalate. This, really, this is not our problem. It could be Poland's problem. It could be Germany's problem. It could be our problem in the world community. But go to war over this? For what? Enough. I'm glad that Obama does not appear to be taking the bait this time. This just isn't our fight. It's really not. It's not our fight any more than it is the world community's fight. So I'm glad to see he's de-escalating. We'll see if that continues. But you know what? Tell me if I'm wrong. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. I've been trying to figure out what the hell is going on in this entire affair, and I still have a lot of questions about it. I was not happy when it looked like we might be rushing to war over it. For now, at least, it seems like it is being de-escalated, and we can go back to more important things, like speculating around the clock on where that airplane is. Okay, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. So here's something else that I need to talk about, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Hopefully the ones that start with Brad, you're wrong. We talked several weeks ago with Paul Koritz, the L.A. City Council member who had just voted to ban e-cigs, electronic cigarettes, vaporizers, nicotine vaporizers in Los Angeles in places where people smoke. And this is not a topic that I, or at least not the type of topic that I usually talk about. But frankly, given my own personal experience and given what I'm seeing now in places like the New York Times, where this war on vaping is now underway and where I think it will kill people, where it is deadly, I feel that I need to speak up. Because this ban is absolutely insane. The way they're trying to demonize people who use e-cigs, who are quitting smoking by the thousands, by the millions, thanks to this miracle of e-cigs, and it really is a miracle. The fact that these anti-smoking people, I don't want to call them zealots, but you know, they're fighting against smoking. That's good, but smoking is not vaping. Vaping, using e-cigs, is water vapor. It is not smoke. It does not contain all of the dangerous, deadly contaminants that are found in cigarettes. And yet, public health advocates are trying to make it harder to vape. And I think that this is absolutely insane. As a matter of fact, the former president of the American Lung Association describes the LA ban on vaping as, quote, misguided and, quote, a public health disservice. So as long as, you know, a few other people are willing to go on air and speak up about this, I feel like I have to. And that brings us to Monday's New York Times, where this idiotic war on quitting smoking, because that's what it is, it's a war on quitting smoking, continues now with a headline, quote, selling a poison by the barrel, liquid nicotine for e-cigarettes. Because it's poison. There's another article based on that one in the New York Times. This one from the Sacramento Bee editorial. Federal government is moving slow to face the threat from the explosion of e-cigarette use. Liquid nicotine used in electronic cigarettes has already poisoned hundreds. We need federal rules before people die. Really? Most e-juices, as they call them, this is the liquid nicotine that is used in these vaporizers, contains water. It contains FDA-approved food-grade propylene glycol and or vegetable glycerin and some flavorings. And propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, in case you don't know, that's the stuff that is used in, you know, lip balm, asthma inhalers, fog machines when you go to a theater or a disco. So while the ingestion of nicotine in the amounts used in e-cigs is not known to be any more dangerous than largely caffeine in your coffee, as toxicologists will tell you, poison is determined by the amount, by the dose that is ingested. And if you don't believe me, try drinking several gallons of water right now in the next 15 minutes. Find out what happens. Actually, don't. Please don't, because it will kill you. Of course, New York Times says that, to quote, evidence of the potential dangers is already emerging. Toxicologists warn that e-liquids pose a significant risk to public health, particularly to children who might be drawn to their bright colors and fragrant flavorings like cherry, chocolate, and bubblegum. And this, you know, occurred to me because every time I go into Home Depot, I see these great big giant jugs of Pine Sol that are purple. They look delicious. They're purple. They're blue. They're bubble gum. They look delicious. I want to drink them all. And yet nobody's complaining about Pine Sol. And yet people die constantly from Pine Sol. At least from liquid nicotine. So far, the only person that the New York Times could cite who died from nicotine poisoning was just one death. Quote, a suicide by an adult who injected nicotine. Put that up to the 300 children in the U.S., 0 to 19, who are treated in emergency departments every day, and two children die every day from being poisoned by chemicals such as household cleaners and medicines, according to the CDC. This is just madness, this war on vaping that is going on, this war on e-cigs, when I think it's, I know that it is an absolute miracle. It is helping people stop smoking all over the world. In the UK, some data points from Dr. Siegel. He's a Michael Siegel. He's a professor in the Department of Community Health Sciences, Boston University School of Public Health, 25 years of experience in the field of tobacco control, previously spent 2 years working at the Office on Smoking and Health at the CDC, conducting research on secondhand smoke and cigarette advertising. He's published 70 papers related to tobacco, on and on and on. He cites some data out from the UK that says, while most anti-smoking organizations continue to oppose electronic cigarettes, warning of the hypothetical risks of these products, new data from the UK suggests that in real life, e-cigarettes are producing substantial public health benefits. The use of electronic cigarettes has increased dramatically ever since the fourth quarter of 2011. Precisely coincident with the rise in electronic cigarettes in the UK has been a significant increase in quit smoking attempts. E-cigs have surpassed nicotine replacement therapy and other drugs as the most commonly used smoking cessation method, and overall motivation to quit has increased since the dramatic rise in e-cigarette use. Very few non-smokers or long-term ex-smokers are using electronic cigarettes, and there is no evidence that electronic cigarettes are undermining motivation to quit or reduction in smoking prevalence and use of e-cigs by never smokers or long-term smokers. I'm sorry, or long-term ex-smokers is extremely rare. I'm bringing all this up for a number of reasons. Amongst them, Eric Garcetti, the LA mayor, still has not approved the bill that was passed by the LA City Council to ban e-cigs inside and, by the way, outside on beaches, on parks, to basically force people to go use their e-cigs out in the smoking lounge. Instead of quitting smoking, go out and hang out with the smokers, which a caller a couple of weeks ago to this show said is the equivalent of sending an alcoholic out to wait in the bar. It's crazy. It's nuts. But again, am I wrong? Feel free to let me know. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. Start your call with Brad, you're wrong. and you will go right to the top of the line. Got much more to talk about, but I know we got a lot of folks calling in, so let's hit some of these calls. Cindy from Fountain Valley, California, welcome to the broadcast. What's up, Cindy?
Hi, Brad. I really enjoy listening to your show, and I'm on my way home from work every day.
Thank you.
I've been listening for the last half an hour, and I heard you talk about Obama and how he was de-escalating the situation in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I have some thoughts on that. That I don't believe Obama runs the country, and I've been hearing you talk about the Democratic Party and kind of like favorably. And I've been Democrat ever since I was able to vote, I really believe that it's a theater production for the people to keep us divided and fighting amongst each other, like the good guy, bad guy, or good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Where, one, you know, this person didn't do good, so vote for the other person. But I really don't believe that they're a separate entity. I think it's one entity, and it's a way of keeping us divided. Well, the Democrats did that, so let's vote Republican. And it's just a vicious cycle that continues. Election after election.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm going to talk a little bit about this after the break. This right-left paradigm, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat. Yeah, I agree. I don't play along with that game. I do call them, however, as I see them. And I was very critical last week of Barack Obama, who seemed to be taking the neocon bait in going to Ukraine. And this week, he seems to be de-escalating. So I'm going to give him credit for that. That's not a Republican's bad, a Democrat's good.
Right.
That's just the facts. And if he does something right, it's rare enough that I'm going to call it out and say, so far he seems to be getting this one right. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Cindy. Do drive carefully.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jason in downtown Los Angeles. Hey, Jason. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, sir. How's it going?
It's going okay. What's on your mind, my friend?
I just want to say that I just, by chance, turned on the radio and started listening to your discussion, and I was overwhelmed with joy of the much-needed discussion that you're having, and you're opening it up and everything else. It's both topics that I've already heard about the political process with Ukraine and Russia and the U.S. and all this, you know, political maneuvering by certain individuals or political forces that are trying to drag us into this unnecessary, on our standpoint, our citizens are going to be put into harm's way. No. I'm a veteran, and I will never go into harm's way if it doesn't affect us in a, you know, very direct way. And then also, on the vaping issue, I couldn't agree with you more, my man. The fact is, I think there might be some political maneuvering by the tobacco industry because they're losing money. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's strange. I don't know yet what to make of it because, in fact, some of the big tobacco companies are now getting into the e-cig game. This brand name Blue that you see advertised on TV is owned by Lorillard, one of the big tobacco companies. The fact is, the ones that I've tried that are made by big tobacco and those companies are crap. Those the e-cigs that actually look like cigarettes as opposed to the type with the tank and the juice and so forth. And so I would not put it by big tobacco at all to put out crap e-cigarettes so that, you know, people, you know, try them. Those are the cheap ones. You can buy them at 7-Eleven. Try them. I tried them. I didn't like them. I'm going back to cigarettes. I wouldn't put it past them at all. So, yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of politics going on here. I don't know completely what they are. I do know that a lot of the people that are working to ban e-cigs, you know, are supposedly some public health advocates, but a lot of these, you know, a lot of Democrats, it was, like I said, it was unanimous on the LA City Council voting to ban these things. And I'm thinking, are you people crazy? This is the best thing that has ever come along for smokers to get people off these deadly cigarettes. And I can speak to it because I quit overnight once I started using these. There's a lot of politics at play here, and very few people are talking about it. All we're hearing is, you know, the New York Times coming out and telling us e-cigs are bad. Reuters had another piece yesterday. What was it? Electronic cigarettes may not help people stop smoking, says a study. And then when you look at what the study was, it's actually not a study, it's a letter. And the people who wrote the letter said, yes, please don't take anything from this letter because we had such a small sample size We don't know what to make of it. And yet, Washington Post picked it up. The Wonk blog, do e-cigarettes help people quit smoking? New study raises doubts. So, something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but I know there's not a lot of voices out there saying this is BS, because I know not only firsthand, but I have heard since I started talking about this, since I came out, if you will, I've heard from all sorts of people who are saying, yeah, same thing happened to me. I got one of these things. I quit. Same thing happened to my wife. She got an e-cig and she immediately quit. So, to hear people who are supposedly concerned about the public health trying to make it harder to use these things is frankly maddening. And when I get mad, that's when I have to speak out. Thanks, Jason. I really appreciate your call. And thank you for your service, my friend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Keep the conversation going.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to try. Let's go. Why don't we go ahead and let's get to a break here. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with much more of your calls. The phones are lighting up. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. When we come back, more of your calls and a little bit of politics. The Democrats and their plans for 2014. And they suck, but I'll tell them how to make them better. You're listening to the broadcast right here on KPFK. Stay with us. Much more ahead.
Hi, I'm Andrew Tonkovich of Bibliocracy Radio, celebrating springtime and the busy book events season, and inviting KPFK listeners to an event I've organized as proud, lucky editor of one of the West Coast's best literary magazines. I'll host a reading by contributors to the newest spring issue of the Santa Monica Review at the intimate ED Second Space, Santa Monica College Performing Arts Center, Sunday afternoon, April 6th at 4 p.m. Readers include novelists Victoria Patterson and Carl Taro Greenfeld, and short story writers Steve DeJarnatt and Trini Dalton, all smart, funny, talented storytellers. Tickets for Santa Monica Review Presents are modestly priced and on sale now at Brown Paper Tickets. Refreshments, plenty of free on-site parking, and books for sale at this KPFK media-sponsored springtime wingding for lovers of books and performance, community, and the literary arts.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a home and keep it company.
Yes, it's the real thing. Coke is it. Welcome back to the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. It's the real thing. This is the plan that you may have heard over the past couple of weeks. Democrats showing up on Sunday show saying, yeah, it looks like we're going to lose the Senate. Nate Silver last week said that, or just a couple of days ago, said there was a 60% chance that the Democrats were going to lose the Senate. Republicans were going to take control. Now, that said, Nate Silver also said in August of 2012 that there was a 61% chance that Democrats would lose the Senate. They didn't. I think they picked up seats, as I recall, in 2012. Yet this time, they think Democrats think this is it. They're in trouble. So they've got a plan. This comes from Dave Weigel at Slate this week. He says he has, I've seen some numbers from fundraising emails from one Democratic campaign that were sent from roughly mid-January to mid-March. Pretty bad news cycles for the party. 19 emails didn't mention the Kochs. They raised an average of $2,500 per message. But 5 emails mentioned in at least some way the Koch brothers. Those asks raised an average of $6,500 per email. The Democratic base, which has been hearing about and fearing the Koch brothers for nearly 4 years, responds to this stuff, says Dave Weigel. So this appears to be the plan for Democrats. They will be running against the Koch brothers, which brings in three times as much money as running on whatever the hell else Democrats have been trying to run on so far this year. Here's my idea for you, Democrats. Yeah, the Koch brothers suck. They really do. They suck big time. I agree. They're doing everything they can to buy our entire political system, our entire country. But you know what? Here's an idea, Democrats. Why don't you give voters something to vote for? That might be something to run on. You don't like the Kochs? You think they don't like the Kochs? Why don't you tell the American people that if you let us keep the Senate and that if you let us take the House, if you go on the offensive and say, let the Democrats take the House, we will pass a bill that guts the Citizens United decision from the Supreme Court that has destroyed, frankly, our electoral system. Why don't you give voters something to vote for instead of something to vote against? Oh, vote against the Koch brothers. So right now, I don't know what the Democrats stand for. I don't know what they want people to show up and vote for. And simply standing around and whining that, oh, it's an off-year election and off-year elections for a party not in power in the White House are always bad. Yeah, well, you know, if you predict that's what's going to happen, it is what's going to happen. Give voters something to vote for, Democrats. Or yeah, you will lose the Senate. But you know what? Maybe you don't care. 818-985-5735 is our phone number, 818-985-KPFK. You can also find me, Brad Friedman, on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. And Desi Doyen will be coming up with some green news in a few minutes. But let's go back to your phones here, whatever you want to talk about. And like I said, if you disagree with me, you get to go first. So Adam from Westlake Village, welcome to the broadcast, sir. What's on your mind?
Thanks. First time listening. First of all, I commend you for actually trying to give advice to Democrats because they're usually too busy talking than actually listening.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not going to listen to me. I'll give the advice. They're not going to listen to a word I say. But anyway, right. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm an e-cigarette smoker. I stopped smoking for it's been 2 years now, and they're very, very successful.
Good.
And I got to tell you, though, in the restaurants and in theaters especially, the people that are blowing it for all of us that do e-cigs are the ones that will just sit there with the huge, like, vaporizers and sit there in a movie theater, and all of a sudden a puff of smoke comes up and people are completely distracted, or in bars, too. It's something that has become a scene, and people are making scenes with these things, and they're not being considerate of the people around them with that whole mentality, like, well, I can do this if I want to. Whenever I use one, I go outside specifically so as to not create a scene, because a lot of people don't know anything about these. So I think people just need to be respectful.
Here's something else, they do need to be respectful, but the fact is, you know, these things are odorless. They don't bother other people. If you say they're making a scene in a bar, I don't know. You know, the California Restaurant Association was against this ban. I haven't seen this scene that you're talking about, but I know it saves people's lives. I know you quit smoking because of it. And so why would anybody want to make it harder to use them? I don't get it, Adam.
It's ignorance, pretty much. It's ignorance, and it also depends on the type of electric cigarette, because you have some that huge plumes of smoke come out, and they do have flavors. It depends on the type that people are using, because they're coming so many different types that emit so many different levels of vapor.
Yeah, they're delicious. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I love them.
I appreciate the call. Thanks. Who was that? It was somebody I wanted to go to on Ukraine that is now gone. Oh. All e-cigs filling up the line. Everybody wants to talk about it. Let's go to Ryan. Where am I here? Ryan in San Clemente. There we go. Ryan, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
I agree that the e-cigs are amazing. They've been nothing but good for my friends, family, and neighbors. I think this ban is insane. I agree with you. But I kind of echo the sentiments of an earlier caller where, you know, kind of a follow the money deal. Like, where is all this anti-vape propaganda, if you will? Where is it coming from? Is it big tobacco? Is it, like, Nicorette or something, you know?
Yeah, I really don't know. Like I said, I've seen it coming from Democrats. I've seen it coming from anti-smoking coalitions who pretend to be against the dangers of smoking, but then when something comes along that will help people get away from the dangers of smoking, they don't seem to give a damn. It's right. it's really bizarre. I got a ton of phone calls here, so I'm going to get to those. Ryan, I appreciate your call. Thank you, sir.
I love your show. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, brother. Let's go to Morris in Long Beach. Hey, Morris. Welcome to the broadcast.
The broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Greetings from the hood.
All right.
I just wanted to share something with you, Brad. I think a big story is the President and the Secretary of State's visit to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Now, many folks may not know that Saudi Arabia funds terrorist groups around the world. I'm not sure they fund Boko Haram in Nigeria, but Al-Qaeda, all of those groups in Egypt, Syria, Libya, are funded by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But what's interesting that people may not know is why the President and the Secretary of State are visiting is because of an $85 billion contract for military equipment. And I think that's the story that the media should be talking about.
Thank you
very much, sir, for taking my call.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, well, if we're going to start not working with countries just because they support terrorism, if we're going to start doing what we were pretending we were doing, then, yeah, we would have let go of Saudi Arabia and a whole bunch of other countries long ago. Let me go to Steve in Redondo, 818-985-5735. Tons of calls here, so let's try to run through them. Steve in Redondo, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Brad, what's happening? I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you doing?
I'm okay. How can I help you, sir?
Well, you know, I smoke actual cigarettes.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like Robert Mitchum and, you know, I mean...
You're very sexy, sir. How can I help you?
No, what I'm talking about here is that it's funny that you're always on the stick. The dictators always get knocked down when they're no longer useful. I mean, you were all over this thing about Egypt and Syria, and it's the same game every time.
We support them.
As long as they're useful to us, and I heard this line, and I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your show, but I heard this line: if you want somebody to get tortured, you send them to Egypt. Well, now look what happened. Hillary Clinton's got her hands in the air, going, "Oh my God, it's an amazing thing. It's incredible. It's the same thing."
Thank you.
Hussein was our guy.
Yeah.
Somoza was our guy.
Yeah.
You know, Batista was our guy, and Assad was our guy.
All right.
Normal thing.
It is. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. Let me go to Ali in Westwood. Hey, Ali, welcome to, if I'm pronouncing that right, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, you are so awesome. But let me just share with you something. I've been an investor in a company for the last 17 years, which we suspended the molecule of nicotine in water, and we added... mint and other like green tea, when it had 1 to 2 milligrams of nicotine in it, and a pregnant woman can drink it. What happens is this: but the FDA, which is in the pocket of pharmaceuticals, and the Philip Morris guys that they sit on the head of the FDA, they have not allowed us to present this drink, which you drink it, because then within a minute, you feel the same reflections or same effect of nicotine without the carcinogen. What happens is this: the pharmaceuticals and the rest of the gangs, they demonize the nicotine. But the nicotine is in every nightshade, fruits, and vegetables.
Yeah.
In fact, there is peer-reviewed articles that is recorded that pound per pound, eggplant has the same amount of nicotine. If you weigh 1 pound of eggplant and you weigh 1 pound of nicotine, if you eat it, it has the same amount of nicotine.
Oh, I know. Nicotine, people don't understand that. Nicotine is not the danger in cigarettes. It's the tar.
Yeah. It's the delivery system when we burn it. But let me tell you about the blessings of the nicotine, why people get affected by it.
Well, I don't want to do that today.
Okay,
for the moment.
Let me also share
yeah.
with you about the vaporizer.
Yeah.
It's the delivery system. When we burn tobacco, and when the Philip Morris mm-hmm. kind of the guys, they put 240 poisons in it, that is less nicotine in it, and it makes us more effective, and it clutters our lungs. That's what they want. It's a multi-billion dollar business. But what they do not like about the vaporizer, which I am smoking, I've been a smoker 25 years in my life. I turned into vaporizer 2 years ago. I do not smoke anymore.
Right.
What I'm sharing with you is this. All our congressmen, okay, they are in the pocket of their Philip Morris, and that's how they get elected.
That you very well may be correct, Ali, and that's a concern.
This is what I want to end it with.
Quickly, go.
If the congressman is so concerned about, what about the chemtrails, which I collect every day? I live in Westwood. I wash my garden. There is so much white chemicals crystallizing on my garden, which I wash every day. What about the chlorine? What about the fluoride in our waters? If you're so concerned, Congressman, please, when I went to Santa Monica and I voted not to put chlorine and fluoride in our water, the congressman applied and approved it.
Okay.
We're all in the pocket of the corporation.
Thanks.
I love you.
I love you too. Thanks, Ali. I appreciate the call. Let's go to David in Los Angeles. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. Enjoy your show. But it's the culture of smoking that is that bothers me. We don't want to encourage the behavior of smoking, even if it's not harmful.
Why?
Because of the history of cancer-causing behavior of smoking.
But if it's not harmful, why is it your concern?
Because I don't want it to encourage our children and influence people to start smoking.
Well, I don't want it to start smoking either, but it's helping people stop smoking. There's no real evidence that it helps people to start smoking. And by the way, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because if anybody's a smoker knows that if you have to choose, frankly, between a cigarette and an e-cig, e-cigs taste a lot better. So for somebody to go from an e-cig to a real cigarette doesn't make any sense, really, and there's no evidence that anybody's doing it. So why should it be your concern? Wouldn't you want to be handing out e-cigs to everyone who's a smoker?
No, I do. But maybe we could designate a different area for the e-smokers and the cigarette smokers.
Why do you get to designate any area for me? I mean, I don't like the smell, the vapor that comes up from your cup of coffee. I don't make you go sit out in the smoking lounge and drink it, David.
This is true, but it's the perceived behavior that is negative. That's the problem.
So because of the perceived behavior that is negative, we should make it harder for people to quit smoking. It doesn't make a lot of sense, David.
But I'm just saying that the perception is the problem.
Okay, and that's why I'm talking about it, because I want to change the perception, because the perception is what's killing people. The perception is what the LA City Council voted against. Whereas the truth, the reality, not the perception, is very, very different. Dave, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Chester. Boy, everybody wants to talk about this. And for those of you who don't want to hear about this, who aren't smokers, who don't give a damn about this topic, I completely understand. But clearly, the phones are just filling up over this one. Chester in Duarte, welcome to the broadcast. And Green News coming up soon, so Desi, you're on deck.
Okay. Thank you. Two things real quick. When politics and science get together, you come up with strange bedfellows. Remember the energy crisis when they made everybody stop at almost every stoplight, and even when they found out that it made you consume more gas, they still wanted you to do that because it looked right? That's the craziness.
Yeah.
When it comes to what's going on in Russia, what if we and the Ruskies behind closed doors are in cahoots with one another? Because we don't really want a totally solid Europe, because their economy will be like three or four times bigger than ours, and a lot of countries want to go to the euro instead of the dollar bill.
I appreciate your call, Chester, but we're not talking what ifs. We're talking what ours. So, and right now, we have no evidence, at least that as far as I know, that they're in cahoots to keep it.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chester. Thank if you, you get it, if you get any evidence, give us a call. Let me see if I can get one or two more in here before we got to go to the Green News Report. Preston in Marina Del Rey. Hey, Preston, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Brad, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So, you know, the whole talk, I've been a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
My parents were lifelong Republicans.
Okay.
I have wanted to vote for a Green Party or independent, but was living in the fear mode, you know, that if I did that, the Democrats would lose the House or the Senate. My take is, if the Democrats are already saying, you know what, it's done, we're throwing in the towel, now is absolutely the time to break the two-party system here in this country. Marianne Williamson is running as an independent in the 33rd District of California, which was Henry Waxman, currently is the representative there. He's not going to run again. It's just fascinating. All the papers and media are calling her like a long shot, and yet she has the largest grassroots campaign. She has the most amount of volunteers. She's not taking any super PAC or PAC money.
And she's got good supporters like you, Preston, calling in and getting the word out over the airwaves, and I greatly appreciate it. I got to move on here, or I'm going to run up against the clock. Thanks for the call. Let me go one more before we go to Desi. Lisa in Westminster. Very quickly, Lisa, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, the Democrats can win if they stop being the party that wants to ban everything and tax everything for the sake of the environment. That covers two of your topics here.
They should stop taxing everything for the sake of the environment?
Stop banning and taxing everything. Don't ban e-cigs. Don't raise gas taxes or ban plastic bags and make people buy something else. all these things that are supposed to be helpful, but they hit working people the hardest. And we need to get back to economic issues and not so much have Democrats as the party that wants to ban everything and tax everything.
Okay, I appreciate that, Lisa. I'm with you on the e-cigs, not on saving this planet so that we can all survive. Which brings us to...
It's not easy being green.
Yes.
It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
All right, we're running way behind, and I want to get right to the Green News Report. Hey, Desi.
Hi, let's get...
Before we go, very quickly to the Green News Report, I want to give a heads up. There is a new report coming out from the... It's, they call themselves the Non-Governmental International Panel on Climate Change. You know these people?
Yes, that would be the Heartland Institute.
Yes, the fossil fuel industry-funded Heartland Group. They're about to come out with a report that says,
climate change will be awesome.
Yes, it's good for us. That they'll release a massive new report April 9th, the new report, I lost track of it here, to issue its critique of the United States IPCC report. The benefits of global warming greatly exceed costs.
Right. And
the
of
new
course,
study says.
They're delusional, and this is funny because they used to say that it wasn't happening at all. Now they've quietly shifted to say, okay, yeah, fine, it's happening, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's just coincidentally funded by the fossil fuel industry. Keep that in mind when it comes out. All right, let me get to today's rather somber, I'm afraid, Green News Report.
And it's going to hurt a lot. I mean, these people are going to suffer.
Meet the nation's newest oil spill, now in Galveston Bay. Air pollution from fossil fuels now killing 7 million people a year. Plus...
You can't fix it. Once you break that egg sometime, that's it.
The legacy of the Exxon Valdez oil spill 25 years later.
All of those legacies and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's 25 years since the Exxon Valdez spill. And you know what technologies they're using now to clean up an oil spill, whether it's the one in Galveston Bay right now or 4 years ago with BP in the Gulf of Mexico? The same technologies they used 25 years ago.
Hey, if it ain't broke, it ain't the morally depraved fossil fuel industry. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen,
horrible, horrific story out of Snohomish County up in Washington State, where 14 are confirmed dead as we go to air. Dozens and dozens more still missing in this terrible mudslide. Among the troubling issues up there, the scientists who, in a 1999 report, warned that there is the potential for a large catastrophic failure up there. This was geomorphologist Daniel Miller and his wife Lynn Rogers Miller. They said, "We've known it would happen at some point." And yet, county officials say that a slide of this magnitude was very difficult to predict. Quote, "There was no indication at all." Well, there was indication. It seems like those indications and those warnings were just ignored.
Yes, I saw other scientists saying they were shocked that they allowed residential development again in the area after previous landslides. And, you know, unfortunately, climate change is likely to bring even more of those landslides. Computer models show the Pacific Northwest is likely to get even more heavier rains.
This is a song we've heard before, and the fact that it keeps being ignored, scientists keep being ignored, frankly, is just heartbreaking and deadly. What else do you have for us today that'll cheer us up now?
Well, nothing that will cheer us up, unfortunately.
Okay, well, then I quit.
Monday marked the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, which has never really ended for the people who live there. March 24th, 1989, the Exxon Valdez supertanker ran aground in Alaska's once pristine Prince William Sound, spilling 11 million gallons of oil that eventually stretched for 11,000 square miles, killing countless animals and birds, decimating the region's fishing industry, as former fisherman Tom Anderson tells NPR.
It didn't take us long. You could smell it before you ever saw it. There was no fish, no birds chasing fish. You could sit there and it would just be dead quiet. So everybody called it the dead zone.
Exxon then used the court system to cut a $5 billion judgment for damages down to just a tenth of that, a mere $500 million, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, the Exxon Valdez spill never really ended for the Sound's people and its animals. Exxon's oil remains just below the surface of beaches, and the herring fishery collapsed completely, never to return.
How did the oil industry celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Exxon Valdez spill?
Well, funny you should ask. Almost 25 years to the day of the Exxon Valdez oil spill comes the nation's newest oil spill, now on the Texas Gulf Coast, where an oil barge collision spilled nearly 170,000 gallons of heavy crude oil into the Houston shipping channel, and the cause of the accident remains under investigation.
The Coast Guard and the National Transportation Safety Board, among others, are conducting an accident investigation to determine how this happened and how we can what we can learn from it to prevent this sort of thing in the future.
Nothing. We will learn nothing from it. We never learn anything from it. We do the same thing time and time and time again, year after year after year, decade after decade. When does it stop, Desi Doyen?
I have no idea. I do know that it's already having an economic impact. The spill has temporarily shut down one of the nation's busiest shipping channels, the Houston Shipping Channel. It's closed Galveston beaches and ferries during the all-important spring break season, and is now threatening several important bird and wildlife refuges and fishing grounds.
And it's going to hurt a lot. I mean, these people are going to suffer until they get this fixed. And then after it's fixed, what's it going to be like?
But wait, there's more. Several major refineries have also been forced to cut back production until that channel reopens, and that will likely raise retail gas prices across the country. But of course, for the folks at Fox News, the nation's newest oil spill in Galveston is really just a distraction.
Yesterday's spill closing the shipping channel to the Gulf of Mexico. Anytime we hear these kind of things, it feels like another impediment to growing out our fossil fuel industry.
Yes, yes, major disasters are an impediment to your fossil fuel industry.
Meanwhile, fossil fuels just keep on giving. The World Health Organization announced this week that air pollution from burning fossil fuels kills an estimated 7 million people every year. That's one in every 8 people on the planet killed by air pollution that causes heart disease, cancer, and lung disease.
For much more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to today, I'm sure there's some happy ones in there somewhere. Please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebook and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
When will we ever learn what to learn? When will we ever learn?
Apparently never. 16 confirmed deaths now up in Washington State. That'll expand most likely to at least 24, still over 100 missing. Terrible, terrible story. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our soundboard, Op G, to our super-duper associate producer who has returned for just a minute or two, Margot Paez. Please stay tuned for the John Wiener and the 4 o'clock report. Awards-winning Amy Wilentz will join him. Awards-winning author Amy Wilentz will join him to talk about Haiti. We'll be back, same Brad time, same Brad channel, next week. Until then, you can find me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog and at BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman. Good night, America.